Welcome back, Rock Movers. This is season 6, and it is all about the boys. We've got some amazing guests, so if you're ready, let's start moving some rocks. Hey, welcome back, Rock Movers. Today's guest is going to help you see rocks in a whole new light, and that is with Jeff Robertson. Jeff is a speaker, a mindset and leadership coach, a business strategist, and he's the host of Second Chance Podcast. He spent nearly 20 years in public safety, including high-stakes undercover work, but after a personal downfall, which you're going to hear about, it forced him to completely rebuild his life, leading to the lessons he learned. Jeff discovered something deeper: purpose. Now he helps leaders, entrepreneurs, and high performers break those generational cycles, overcome self-sabotage, and shift from survival mode to thriving mindset. All the things that you know we love to talk about here. So I'm just going to welcome right to the mic and the stage, Jeff Robertson. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, no, this is reading, you know, just learning about you as well. It's an easy for me to ask you to come and speak to your audience and get to know you as well. So thank you.
We're excited. And I didn't tell you this off camera, but my in-laws are all Robertsons. So I'm sure somewhere, you and my husband are probably brothers from another mother here.
If my mom was here, she would start quizzing you, and then she would be like, well, hold on here now. Call, you know, ask this person, right? And she'd be like, no, my cousin left Roanoke. And she would absolutely put it all together.
That's too cool. Yeah, because they had some up in North Carolina, and then my husband's grandmother's family moved down to Florida, so Ocala, Florida area. Yeah. So I don't know if you got kin there, but I'm sure somehow we're related.
Just working through my journey, which we'll talk about, but I've done some ancestry DNA just because I don't know about. I know. After I had my mom, because my mom was like, I want to learn more about. We've kind of figured out that maybe she's maybe raised by wrong bet. So we've uncovered some things.
It's funny what can show up in the DNA. DNA don't lie.
Absolutely. We probably, if you're on in there and you see, I think Jeff is my lead-in name. So you see that, it's probably, reach out for me. I'd love to connect with you.
We'll have to dive into his. It's so funny. DNA just so telling. I mean, facts don't lie, right? Like, numbers are numbers. But we are here to talk a little bit more, and for our listeners to get to learn a little bit more about your second chance story. And talking off camera, I got to learn a little bit, and just studying you on online and everything, I know there's so much more. So I can't wait to dive into this conversation about your rock that led to what you do today with this amazing second chance. I mean, you've got Reckless Behavior on your shirt. If you're listening, he's wearing a Reckless Behavior shirt, breaking the curse. I mean, this man is all about changing the narrative, the conversation, and your future. So where did that start? Because I don't think that's where it began. So how did you get there?
Yeah. So I'll tell you, the reckless behavior came from, I'm post just a few weeks post life-changing event. I had been in public safety, and I'll roll it back. I'll anchor right here for you. So, you know, my wife said, we had just started dating, and she's like, hey, I can't do this anymore. And I was like, and she goes, you have destructive behaviors. I heard reckless behavior when she said it. She says to this day, she says, I said you have destructive behaviors. And I'm like, well, I heard reckless behavior, so I'm going with reckless behavior. So so her telling me that and that night was a pivotal moment for me. And no matter how I heard it, I cussed getting in the car. I'm like, who are you to talk to me like that? You don't know anything about me. And on that ride home, which is about 30 minutes back at the time, it was grinding on me. She was right. I did have those destructive behaviors and reckless behaviors. So, you know, to wind you back a little bit, as my journey was started with just living in chaos as a kid. I was a single parent, you know, I'm a product of a single, amazing single mom. But during that time, she's also had me when she's still in high school. So the common practice growing up for me, as I've learned here, is like aunts and uncles and grandmothers and people raising other kids and all these things. So my aunt, ultimately I ended up living with her. But my grandfather liked to, and we're close to him where we lived, but he liked to drink. He liked to be rowdy. He liked to live that reckless behavior. Gunplay was not uncommon with him shooting up and different things. And, you know, so I grew up in that kind of lifestyle, and just there was always something, some kind of chaos and craziness going on. So to the point of, my grandmother committed suicide when I was like going into sixth grade, and I found her. And
my gosh. You know,
yeah. So I had.
That's a lot for a kid to carry.
For a kid. Yeah. And listen, I didn't realize that, right? Because I was a tough kid.
You didn't know any different.
Didn't know. Yeah. Didn't know what I didn't know.
Yeah.
I'd started middle school and struggled. And then they had different kind of clubs. And I remember seeing like this rescue squad club, right? Volunteer rescue squad club. And I had been around a lot of public safety from all the stuff that was going on inside of my life. So I was like, man, those guys are the people that showed up on my worst days and some of our worst moments. So I was immediately drawn to that.
Yeah.
Connected with one of my best friends, and we're still friends today. And you know, right around, you could join when you were 15, and I joined our local rescue squad, and just math and English never came easy to me, but the books and the studying there did. Like I could, it just made sense for me. Uh-huh. It was like reading common sense on just the medical side of how it, of EMT work and firefighter work. So
this is like your volunteer firefighter, volunteer response team.
Yep. So what I try to tell folks is I went from chaos to chaos. When you're at 15, you know, at 15, they set you down and, you know, like interviewing you to join. And they're like, you know, you're going to see blood and gore. I was like, oh, yeah, I found my grandmother. And they're like, oh, well, you've seen dead bodies. That's like a check the box prerequisite. So, you know, I'd already kind of, I went from chaos into controlled chaos. It's kind of the way I, after it all really started making sense of.
It was like spontaneous chaos to intentional chaos.
Yeah.
Because you were walking into chaos.
Yeah, and the part you did is you dealt with everybody else's problems. Yeah. So it's kind of like listening, you know, like for the folks listening here, I'm hoping a lot of you will be able to say, I got it bad, but not as bad as that guy did. right?
Because yeah. That's the way, if he can do it, I can do it. That's right.
We had that in public safety. I was always in the busiest station, so you didn't have a lot of downtime to think, because that's where, you know, that's where I was at my worst, was when I had time to settle on in my thoughts. And that's when my mind would turn on about just get really busy about my life. And I didn't realize that. You know, so that's what I did. I did volunteer work until I was about 18. And then you could get hired at ambulance services and transportation services, 911 dispatchers. You know, a day for me is I would work a 12-hour shift as a 911 dispatcher, and then either go volunteer for a shift, or I would just get right off and go drive and ride my ambulance, my paid job. So I would work another 8 to 12 hours there. So that would be a constant rotation for me, to where I had a lot of times the ambulance service went busy, you get your work done, you could nap when you needed to, but it wasn't being hard for me to, you know, to carry that schedule like that and then work and then have just a couple of days off to have fun with my friends or whatever. And then I went into patrol. Mm-hmm. As I hit like mid-20s, I hit patrol and then a couple of years there, and then I'm on to doing plain clothes work. So that's kind of the anchors of how everything gets started. And what I tell people, Karen, like, be mindful when you know chaos, when you're raised around chaos like that. What I realized was all the weights that I carried hid inside of everybody else's problems. I didn't have time to sit down and work on me and get right with me because I was too busy hiding all my stuff within everybody else's, right?
So, yeah, I can so relate to that. And I think, you know, my story's different, but I focused on helping everybody, right? I was going to be the fixer. Yeah. And I was going to help everybody so that I didn't have to face or deal or work with or try to heal my traumas. Yeah. And so I intentionally stayed busy in that regard. I found people more broken than me to try to fix. And so it's just funny how we go about, we're just navigating and managing the wounds in our head in so many different ways. And we all kind of go about it uniquely our way. But that led you to kind of a dead end road that was a real pivotal left or right turn.
Yeah. I got to do undercover work and plainclothes work. And it was amazing. I think about that a lot. Like, we impacted a lot of communities. To back you up, I called the shot in 1980. I told my sixth grade teacher on career day, I'll share you a picture with you. I dressed like Don Johnson from Miami Vice when I was in.
Okay.
And she, on career day, they were like, what are you going to be when you grow up? I'm going to go work Miami Vice. I'm going to be on a cop. And my school teacher had the next day brought me an article from our newspaper where they had done this major bust, and it was at our local airport, in the city near me.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, look, well, I have that article, the digital version of that I was able to find, but I ended up working with some of the guys that was in that article. And so, like, I called my shop years later, I ended up going and working with them. And, I was able to burn it at both ends, even more so than I ever had, because I was really able to work hard and play very hard too. And so about year seven or so, but life was like saying, hey, it's time to move on. My relationships are starting to fall apart. Everybody, I was just too stubborn, because once this was over, I knew that I would never get back to a level like this. So I was trying to figure out career and just drinking way more than I should, and just living in that, reckless behavior type life. And
also, don't you get to a place where this becomes your identity? So if I don't do this, who am I?
Yeah, absolutely. You can say, that's I was working on some content earlier about that. So my whole identity has been in public safety or some setting. And then when we were doing plain clothes work, like, we all hung out together. I didn't have any friends outside of that fence. So yeah, it's absolutely my identity. It's wrapped up into this. It's who I am.
Right.
And so when that comes to a head in like fall of 07, is I'm coming off from a bar, and I'm pulled over in the county that I work in, and I get arrested for DUI. And when that happens, you're immediately put on suspension, and then here I am. I know that this is done. So just trying to figure out where I was going to go to work.
Yeah. So this is what I was referring to, y'all, as the pivotal moment, right? Came to this place, and when you're facing a decision like that, you can go further off that end, or you can turn and go a different direction and continue. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
One day I applied for this salesperson position at a dealership. And so they called me for interviews. The first interview I got, and I was kicking the can. I still hadn't been to court the first time yet. And he just starts yelling. He's like, why are you in here? And I give him this very weak-handed answer about what I knew how to do. And so he basically sat down and he goes, this is what you did in police work. This is how it applies here. This is what you did in the police work. You understand communication. You remember all those people you would talk out of freaking, doing something harmful to themselves, like you would referee the fight in the kitchen. All right, this is that sales negotiation. All right. And all he did was started drawing lines for me on this. And then, man, he ended up not hiring me, but he says, but go apply in these areas and you're going to be fine. I ended up in a dealership, ended up being a good friend of mine that I knew from childhood. So that was my first job. I got a little part-time job at Home Depot. But so at Home Depot, you talk about skills. I want everybody to understand, I don't know how to read a tape measure. I know what a 2x4 is, but I've never run a chop saw. I don't know how to do basic carpentry and plumbing and things that folks know how to do. So that's my identity has been tied up over here. So I landed at Home Depot, and the cool thing at Home Depot, they got a training program. You watch videos and it teaches you how to do this, and you're around all this stuff. So I started just picking up different skills, learning how to just really talk with folks. And then I'm working at the dealership at the same time. So I'm back, Karen, I'm back in that lifestyle of where I'm working 9 hours a day at the dealership, 4 to 5 hours at Home Depot, and then I go home, sleep, I'm back up. And so I'm mad because I don't have my old job.
Yep.
All those things, but I go right back into working all the time, and then my weekend's off, right? So it's a very small mom and pop's operation at the time, but I've learned how SEO, digital marketing, social media marketing is coming out, and we're very innovative on my owners. Like, you know, the guy I'm working for, he's behind me and figuring all this stuff out. And he was very, very bent on us making this company online. And man, I still don't realize I'm learning that. I'm still mad because I'm not Jeff's a police officer. And then it starts to kind of make sense. Like, why are you still chasing this old job? You're making good money. So it started to kind of be light bulb moments, Karen, for me at that point in time. Yeah. So I had found a few new friends. I had still trained with my public safety guys. I was able to really put some distance there, but I haven't, at this point, I really haven't had these moments like I have now of where I've really of personal development. Mm-hmm. And
where you just completely broke off.
Yeah. But still dealing with Jeff, that kid.
Yeah.
I still haven't gotten right.
You haven't tamed was it? The not reckless behavior, but the destructive behavior. The little kid that was doing that.
And here I am. So one day at the dealership, the trooper that had arrested me came by. And I was in my zone. I had really put a lot of stuff behind me. The salesperson brought me his card and said, "Hey, you want to talk to this guy?" And I'm like, "Nope, tell him I'm busy." And that's where I left it. Uh-huh. Right. And, you know, you fast forward, I'm working on Jeff. I'm reading books now. I'm personal development. I'm business. I'm listening. I'm talking to John. I'm thinking John Gordon. I'm on all this track of positivity, working out. You know, just really dialing in some of my stuff, but I'm still working 6 days a week. It's a very busy schedule. Then being your dad, you know, the stuff I did with parenting. And I get a call one day that the trooper had passed away, right? I found him, he was hunting, found him sitting by his tree. He passed away. Like, "Thanks for telling me. Appreciate it. You know, I hate to hear that." And onward I go. So I started getting this knack, man, like, you need to change this, time to go. I was working at a group exercise gym, it's Fit Body Boot Camp, and I was like, man, I really like this. And then I started coaching there. I coached a morning class before I'd go to work. And then they're like, "Hey, we need somebody to come run our operations." Yeah. And so me and the wife sat down and we come up with a plan. I left my company. I'd been there for 10 years, left, went into fitness. Fast forward through that, Karen, all the way up until COVID, and they shut down all of our gyms. So I ended up buying and opening up my gym in July of 2020, right when they said you could go back to having in-person classes. And I get this lady, Jenny, ends up into my gym. So fast forward for the sake of time here, 21-22, we do the Fit Body Games, and I'm on a soccer field, and all the spouses are there, and our team wins. And Jenny's there, and her husband, Danny. And Danny comes over to me, and he's like, "Hey, I just want to tell you something. You have impacted our life. My wife was depressed." I'm saying, "She found your gym. She started working out there. Comes home, just changed, just better attitude. And he gives hope, like, in our marriage is better, all the stuff because of you." And I was like, holy crap, man. Like, a really cool moment of him really just sharing my impact on their life. And they had had a baby that had passed away at birth. Mm. And it just put this toll on them.
Right.
And so we go to dinner, Karen, and I'm sitting beside him. He's like, "Hey, you used to be a police officer." I'm like, "Yep, sure was." He goes, "My dad was a police officer." I'm like, "Really? What's your dad's name?" And it's Malcolm Austin, the trooper that had arrested me.
Wow. Not an accident.
Yeah, very, very powerful. So you want to talk about like the puzzle, you know, I'm over here building pieces and I got my frame and I'm this and you know, I'm open, I'm fitness, I'm this. And I teach this, I tell people like, you ever get that puzzle piece and you put it in there and you go close enough, it'll work. It's gonna work. But you know there's a better piece, right? But you still put it in there and you're like, I'm just gonna leave this right here. Man, that piece got kicked out. And this whole big puzzle of pieces that I've been building over here just landed in there at the same time. And it gave me so much clarity on purpose. I've worked on it for, you know, since then, since 25, so about 3 years, but it made me go work on me. It made me go figure out how to forgive myself. I preach that all the time about forgiving yourself. My friend Jody Peterman, I was interviewing her on a podcast, and she goes, oh, you need to learn the Ho'oponopono prayer.
I don't know how to say that, but yes, I know what you're talking
Right?
about.
So she teaches me that. And listen, just that meditation alone helped me really pull in the clarity that I needed to kind of put all this together in this puzzle conversation. So I freak out. I'm like, oh my God. It took me a year or so to tell him. I want to start telling this story. I want it's impactful. There's something there. I'd shared it privately with a few friends who were mind blown. They're like, yeah, you need to tell this. This is good. So I called him and we went to dinner and I said, you're here because I need to tell you something. And remember, your dad got reassigned to a new area around 2007. He goes, yeah, I do. And I was like, that's because of me. He goes, you're Jeff. And I was like, that's me. So he and I got to talk and he filled me in on his dad's side. I was able to fill him in on things that I always hope your dad knows I want to screw up. But I was able to really get out what a bad place I was in. And me and him was able to talk. We're friends. And we already were before this, but it's just an amazing connection, Karen. They call it a butterfly effect, is what the kind of story is called. I put myself through a lot of unnecessary hell building this puzzle. And some of it was not by my own doing. So I had to learn how to forgive that. So people have helped me learn to go back in those phases of your childhood where your trauma was or wherever you were at in your life and just acknowledge it and forgive that part of you, that person. Like I went back to little Jeff that's 4 years old that got hot coffee thrown on him and by his grandfather, and then was remembers vividly being surrounded by his aunt saying, hey, if you tell anybody, they're gonna take you away from us. And the guilt that I carried because I never told that. Recently, my mom gave me two photo albums of me as a kid, of Polaroids my aunt had took of me growing up. And they're all in age sequential order. My aunt would just snap Polaroids and be like, hey, here's just a pretty day. Let's take your picture. And she would take a picture if it was a new outfit or whatever. So I got to visually remember what I looked like back then. And it really was a powerful for me to forgive those different ages of
That's so
myself. And
funny. I keep my little Polaroid right here
that's so
of
cool.
a moment that was both humiliating and a source of pride for me. I was pregnant when I walked for my graduation, and that's the duality of, yeah, crappy things can happen, and I can make choices that now I can see the value of that choice and see it in a different lens. And I know that that girl was doing the very best she could with what she knew and who she was and all the circumstances involved. And I did some really hard shit. I overcame a lot. So it's just a reminder to be kind to myself when I keep that in front of me and to remember that, you know, every situation has a duality to it, and you know, I can overcome that too.
Definitely.
So,
It's powerful stuff, man.
it
If you can,
is.
if you can, you know, when you can get into, and here's what it does, is it makes you process the moment, but you got to own what you like to listen. There's some stuff I had to go in and just own and be like, all right, Jeff, you got to forgive yourself for this stupidity. But I also was able to go through and, you know, you're no different than my mother. I went to high school twice. One was with my mom and one was by myself. So
That's
I
funny.
understand.
I haven't thought about it like that, but
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, you graduated twice. One, you can go back and you can really go in those moments and just forgive who that person was because you didn't know no better.
Yeah. But also in that moment, you know, you have all of these choices to make. And that choice that you're making is either from a place of pain, preservation, or fear very often. And you're just trying to survive.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's like, there's not even, I've come to a place where there's not even forgiveness needed. It's just acknowledgement that I was just doing the best that I can. And I don't have to forgive myself. Like there's nothing to forgive because I check, this is what I do now. I check my intentions. Was my intention to do bad? No, my intention was to survive. My intention was never to hurt anyone else or hurt myself or to be mean or hateful. Or it was literally to just survive the next day or the survivor, or in my case, to fill this hole that was created by my orphan, being orphaned and adopted and all of this, my story. And I had a hard time, you know, going back and forgiving myself. And one day it hit me in my quiet time and talking to God. It was like, I can't forgive myself because I didn't do anything wrong. I can just accept that I was doing the very best I can and just acknowledge that. Like, holy crap, Karen, you just survived. Great job.
The other thing I learned was, as not as much as younger, but as I got older, is, and this is probably the last 5 years, is what lesson is life trying to teach you?
Yes.
And if you start to see repeating patterns in your life, it's because you haven't completed the lesson properly. It's just no different going through school. If you start to see, that's why I paid close attention to that nagging, it's time for you to change. Your purpose is over here on the second round. I was fighting it on the first one. I wasn't dumb enough to do it on the second one because I knew it was going to cost me something big. But remembering, like, when you're, especially as you're older, and go back and start thinking about, well, wait a minute, when this was going on, this was the outcome. This is what I said I was trying to learn type thing. I like the way you put that. And I will absolutely start putting that to practice because I do feel not all things are my fault. I take ownership. As leaders, we take ownership or whatever. But that's kind of where breaking curses come from was my kids. Are old enough now to where I set them down and I give them a little weekly lesson on like where they are in their life. And I go, well, this is what it was like for me back then. And then I've included a lot of their grandmothers, and my mom, I've included a lot of her story so that you're never going to go through this. But it's y'all's job to never let our family, you two, ever in y'all's offspring, you can never let this cycle ever repeat itself because it stops with me. And that's why we call it breaking the curse. And
I love that.
All that. Yeah.
Yeah. I've even been able to look at my mom, my biological mom, through that same lens. And I never felt like I was never angry at her for giving me up for adoption. Somehow I knew and understood that whatever choice, even before I met her, because I have met her, we're in reunion 30 years now. But I knew she was a wounded girl doing the best she could. And even then, 1969, she had the option of abortion and she chose life.
Yeah. Same.
And for that, I was grateful.
Yeah.
And so there was just this acknowledgement of, you know, it's okay. There's nothing to forgive. I was never, ever in that place. And so to forgive myself, I think, felt so out of place. So maybe that'll resonate with some of the people listening to this today or those.
Karen, have you ever got deep with your mom on like that journey?
Oh,
for
yeah.
her? Have you?
Yeah.
Have you recorded it?
I didn't record it and I regret that now. I have it all written down, but I never recorded our conversations.
I'm working with my mom. I will share this episode with her so she hears it again. But I'm
Yeah.
working with her on my mom's still guarded about part of the story. Like
Sure,
there's
there's
things
a lot of
just she yeah.
shame
Yeah,
that comes with
she just
that.
doesn't want me to judge her. I'm not going to judge her, but she doesn't want to deal with the frustration of hurting me because there's things I've been told I kind of know is not right, right? Or there's little bitty fudges and lies of whatever. I'm a former police officer, and my friend Brian helped me sum this one day. He goes, you ain't mad at nothing. He says, you're just in the pursuit of the truth. And he said, that's just policeman in you, that's who you, and you're just trying to figure out who you are. So here's what I was going to tell you. I'm working with her on just kind of journaling, and I told her I don't want to ever publish it. I said, but I need it to be available to our kids so they can be able to share their grandmother's journey with their offspring. Then we have technology available now that makes that super simple for us to do it. That's what I was asking
The
you.
other thing that you could do, and I would love to do this for my mom as well, is to give them the ability to release the shame. Because they were pregnant during a time when it was tremendously shameful. And it was, just even self-imposed, and the courage and the grit that it took for them to do what they did to have us. Because when were you born?
74.
Okay, so you're younger than me. So, but still, the Vietnam War was going on and all of that stuff. And so my mom made up this whole lie about my father was in Vietnam and got killed in Vietnam, and that's why he never came back. And, that's what she had to do to survive.
It's a great point.
And there, there's just
It's probably
that
I
gets in your
probably have
DNA. It just becomes a
absolutely.
part of your identity. And now you just carry this blanket of shame into everything else. And
Care
it's
meet dad?
unnecessary. No, my father was killed in a car accident. I would have been about six at the time, so I never got the chance to meet him. But I met the wife that he was married to at the time, and I have a half brother from him. I'm in reunion with him, and then my mom has a son and a daughter. So I have two brothers and a sister from my biological family, and I have a great adoptive family. So my brothers
That's
were
good to
quite
hear.
older, so I kind of had three
Your
dads.
advice there as was it didn't fall on deaf ears. I had someone tell me similar. I've never been this blunt of what I need to be. And some last time I had a really powerful session like this and a good conversation that my friend had. It was like, you need to go get right with your mom. I sent her flowers, right? And because my mom loves raises, but I didn't say, hey, it's okay to let the shame go. That's what I need to do. That's good. That's worth the price of admission today, Kenny. Now,
I'll
that's
double
worth,
my
I'm
prize
serious,
next
man.
time, Jeff. I'm doubling it. But
That's don't you know that no meeting is for chance.
yeah.
Nobody's you're always People have gave me advice so much and tried to help me. And I tell them, they're like, Jeff, I've been telling you this all along. And I go, I wasn't ready to listen to you. And
No.
but the way you just said it to me really helps me make sense of that part. So
Well, I
thank
think
you.
our journeys are kind of intertwined in some ways, so it's interesting. But I also think that other people, like, you don't have to get pregnant in high school or college or out of wedlock in the 60s or 70s to carry shame. I mean, we all carry our own bags, right? This is the whole point of the Rock Movers. I was focused on my mom's abandonment and my mom getting pregnant, because I found out I was adopted when I was six. So that became a part of this thing that I carried. And literally, I think it created my situation and my choices, because I was going to do it different. If I ever got pregnant, I wouldn't give my child up for adoption. I would keep mine. Oh, okay. Universe heard that. God's like, okay, prove it. Here you go. This is what you want. Let's do that. I just think that we can speak into existence that shame, and then it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And it doesn't have to be. We literally can let it go.
No, you're right on that. That's
So they're not to coach you, but you know, there could be
no.
some shame that, you know, maybe kind of lingering along, and that's why you're so adamant that, you know, you're going to break that curse and you're going to defy it. Because my kids aren't going to carry it. And what I just want to remind you and our listeners today is none of us have to carry it.
Great point, man. I really appreciate that. You're the second person, the first one that helped me because of just where I'm at now. It helps make sense. Like, Jeff, your kids aren't affected by you. Like, you're not that person. You haven't
Yeah, you're
experienced,
not.
right? You're there, and
That's
the
not
way,
been their journey. You've made
that's
sure to
what.
that.
And someone had said one time before, they're like, "Well, why do you feel obligated to tell them?" And I go, "Because I just need them to know that this could exist. This could be a drug problem. This if one little one, you know, an opioid problem or just over addiction or whatever. It runs in our circles. And if you're not self-aware, then you're back to building the curse instead of breaking it. But a lot of folks have told me that, like, don't overimpression them with your story, that they have their own journey.
Yeah.
Great
Well,
point, man.
and you've surrounded them with a hedge of knowledge and protection that you weren't given. So their path is on a total different trajectory. Their examples are different. So without saying those things, you live those examples. You live that message. And so they
Perfect.
know.
Yeah.
But it's wonderful that you're carrying forward this message of overcoming. I think there's a way that we do that that carries forward the shame of don't do what I did, because I've said that so many times to my kids. Instead of, hey, I've learned things, do what I'm doing now, and then you're going to make your own mistakes. You don't have to make mine. You're going to make yours, but we'll figure it out together.
That's great. Yeah.
And I just think that's such a gift that, you know, we can generation to generation learn, break those ties, you know, create new bonds to healthy things and help our kids move their rocks because they're going to have their own. They're going to figure it out their own
You're
way.
absolutely right there.
You think you got it hard? I walked, you know, the old famous story up, walked to school uphill both ways in the snow without shoes kind of thing. Trauma's relative. It
My
doesn't have
son,
to be.
Exactly. My son did that to me. And all I asked him was, I said, "Do you go to bed hungry?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Okay, it's not as bad as what you think. All right. So just think, you're going to get to go
Yeah.
sleep in a warm bed tonight, and you're going to go to bed with a full belly. So let this right here, me and you can work on." And he was like, "All right, that sounds good." So just,
Oh,
I was
perspective. I
able to,
love that
yeah, I was able
reframe
to
of
change that
perspective.
perspective for him versus me saying, "Let me tell you about what the work day looks like, boy."
Yeah, I love that. Well, I know that you do this so much with the people you workshop with. You speak on stages about this. So how can people learn more from you if this was something that inspired them? How can they get you in front of their people? What's the best way to connect?
The easiest way is jeffreyrobertson.com. If you look at you'll find how to contact me and all those things. But if you scroll down to Instagram, that's me. So
Okay.
if you want to create a conversation, if you want to talk directly to me without having to go through email or whatever, give me a
Instagram's the
follow on
best place.
Instagram.
Good.
Yep, shoot me a direct message, and we can listen. This is for the folks that may have. You know, if you're in a similar situation or you've experienced something similar, and you're like, "Hey, I want to share this episode," which we want you to. I love hearing those stories of, I get a message every now and then. I'm like, "Man, this one, like, I got to hear you," and that gives me a little bit, that pushes my purpose.
Yep,
So it's
absolutely.
yep, jeffreyrobertson.com is the easiest way, and we can take the conversation from there.
I love it. Well, I love that you're moving rocks. I love what you're doing and how you're helping to support people to break their curses, to shed that shame and move forward just in this new, not reckless, but just unleashed, confident behavior that you're just passing along now to your kids and to those that you serve. So thank you. Thank you for doing the hard work. Thank you for just pouring into the next next people coming behind us. That's all the whole rock mover movement is. We're pulling these rocks out of our bags and paving a way for other people to come behind us. So thank you for doing that. And
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
So grateful. Grateful to know you and have you as a resource in my back pocket to connect with people I know that will need your message. So Rock Movers, today's been so impactful to me. And so if this has made a difference for you as well, share, make a comment, connect with Jeff, and just know life's going to happen, right? There's going to be things, rocks are going to come along. You just need to know you don't have to face them alone. You have people like Jeff and myself to help you through it. So until you can get connected or until our next episode, keep moving those rocks and know that you are so loved. We'll see you on the next episode. Wow, wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did, and I hope that you got something super valuable. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to the Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world. And I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there. And I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our rock moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.